Good evening and welcome tonight to our services at O'Neill. We have visitors among us and we appreciate your presence and we welcome you back at each and every opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. Have you ever heard of someone either tell you or maybe they have you've heard someone telling someone else, you need to grow up? The other day I overheard an adult talking to a child and they tell the child, you need to grow up. Well, what does that mean? Of course, the adult was telling the child, they weren't telling the child, you need to grow up physically. They were talking to the child about the child's maturity, being immature, that they needed to grow up. We all go through stages in our life, and circumstances and choices in life sometimes cause people to grow up too fast, sometimes while others we think, well, maybe they won't ever grow up. Growing up isn't always easy. But it's something that we all must do. So tonight, as we talk about this, I want to take a look at the life of Christ and compare that to the life of a Christian or the life of one of us. As we grow up and as we take on our role in life, does our life look or resemble anything like that of Jesus Christ? The child is born in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and she, talking about Mary, brings forth to her firstborn son, talking about Jesus, and wraps him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Just like you and I have our children, and they're born as babies, and here Jesus is as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes. So my question is, how vividly do you remember the first time that you saw your child or grandchild? Count their fingers to make sure they were all there. Count their toes to make sure they were all there. Did you check to see at night and you just kind of watch to make sure that they were breathing? How many pictures did you take? Did you ever stop and think about, well, I wonder what they will be when they grow up? No doubt, Mary, as she has Jesus, and no one that the feelings that she would have as a mother would be no different than the feelings that you have as a mother or that I have as a father. But thinking about what that child may become, and Brother Guy mentioned this morning and used the verse here in Psalms 127, verse 3, talking about children and children being a heritage of the Lord. Children, talking about the happy is the man that has a quiver full of them, has a quiver full of children. What a blessing that children are, and we can see what a blessing that this child, Jesus, was. In Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was an angel of a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. This son, this child that was going to grow up and is going to grow up to be the Savior of the world, what an honor it was to be the earthly parents to the Savior of the world. What a blessing that this was to them, and what a blessing that our kids are to us. But see, Jesus, it was a baby, and He's going to grow, just like your children and my children are growing. It says in Luke 2, verse 40, it says that the child grew, and he waxed strong in the Spirit. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Our children are no different in this aspect than baby Jesus, who also had to physically grow from a child into an adult. And as we watch our kids and we record all those first things, and some of you may even have a door in your house or maybe a doorway or something that you're charting their growth, or maybe you've written in a book all the first things, their first smile, their first laugh, or their word when they sat up or rolled over, or their first step, their first tooth, and you could go on and on with all the first that we have with our children. They continue to grow. But Jesus, look what He did. He grew in other areas as well. Not just physically growing up as a child, but He waxed strong in the Spirit. He was filled with wisdom. What's the most important growth that we can watch in our children? Is it that one of a physical growth or that one of a spiritual growth? You see, our children grow from those toddlers, and they grow into those preteens, those 12-year-olds, those 13-year-olds. Those teenagers. It says that when he was 12 years old, It says that they went up into Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and here Jesus is. He's going with his parents to this feast, and look what happens. They're ready to leave, and they've already went on their way, and Mary's like, well, where's Jesus? Where is he? I don't know where he's at. As parents, you become worried sometimes about your children. Same, no difference here with these parents. They were worried about where's Jesus, and they go and they find him, and where is he? He's in the temple. He's in the temple, sitting in the middle of the doctors, and he is listening to them, and he's asking them questions. He's asking them questions. As our children, as they're growing up, and it's our duty as parents to bring them up, as Brother Guy also mentioned this morning, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Sometimes it involves correction. Sometimes we have to correct our children. Don't always like to do that, but sometimes we have to. In Proverbs 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there's still hope. You chasten him, you correct him while there's hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. I know guys mentioned before, and I know Glenn will talk about sometimes that as Timmy would cry before Guy would even spank him because he kind of got the idea, and Guy's told that story many times. Same way with our kids. You start crying, they start crying, you think, well, I'm going to get my way. What does he say? You chasing them right now while there's hope. See, because they're going to be preteens. They're going to be teenagers. They're going to become adults. And they're going to start making decisions for themselves. And sometimes it's not the right decisions. But we still bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I think about this testimony of an upbringing that we can see from 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, when it says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. He says, I'm persuaded that's in you, Timothy. You have a faith, and that faith came first from your grandmother and your mother. He was being brought up. He was being taught. Do I do that for my kids? Do you do that for your kids? Is that an area that I can improve in? Is that an area that you can improve in? This quote that I found here says, one of the most important things we adults can do for young children is to model the kind of person we would like them to be. Let me read that one more time. One of the most important things that we adults can do for young children is to model the kind of person we would like them to be. What do I want my kids to be? Am I modeling that for them? What do you want your kids to be? Are you that reflection that you want them to follow? What a responsibility that's on our shoulders. What a responsibility that's on the shoulders of parents and of grandparents to be that right model, that right example for our children. You know, when we continue that story with Jesus and him growing up, look, when they looked at Jesus and they saw him in the middle there and asking those questions, look what it said about the people around him. It says that all that heard him, they were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And it says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. When people look at you, and I'm talking to the 12-year-olds, I'm talking to the teenagers, I'm talking to the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I know we have someone in the 90s in here. When people look at you, what do they see? Are they amazed? Are they astonished at the life that you're living in Jesus Christ? As parents, we all have very proud moments, but what makes us the most proud of our kids? Is it the all A's or the good grades? Is it the ability they have in sports? Is it the ability they have in musical instruments? That's what we're most proud of? Or are we most proud of the love that they have, the service that they have, the faithfulness that they have for God, for others? What are we most proud of in our children? Sometimes our children cause us worry. As parents, we worry about our kids. That's natural. Look at Jesus. Look at Mary. He said, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. You know, they didn't know where he was. He knew where he was. It was about his father's business. Sometimes that's the same thing that kids, that's the same thing that you do for your parents. You cause unnecessary worry. Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto God. You obey them. They've been there. They have wisdom beyond your years. Even though you may think, and everybody in this room, we also thought the same thing, that we knew more than our parents. But they've been there, and they've done that. And they see where a path will lead, and they are instructing you. And you may not like what you're hearing, but I can guarantee it that it's out of love that they're trying to direct you in that path. You love your parents. Kids are so busy growing up. You're so busy growing up that you forget your parents are growing older. And you're not going to have them one day. And you're going to wish that you had. You're going to wish that you would have listened to them. But it's going to be too late then. Take time to listen to them now. Listen to them. Charlie told me, if he's told me this once, he's told me this several times in he and I, our conversations, that you can be, and I'm talking to the kids here, you can be your parents' greatest joy, or you can be your parents' greatest heartache. Which do you want to be? We've already had that experience where we, and I'm talking to the adults now, were we our parents' greatest joy, or at times could we be our parents' greatest heartache? That's choices that we made as we went through life. And being subject to our parents is another thing. As Jesus, as he's growing up and he's learning, look what it says. He went down with them in verse 51 into Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. Now here Jesus is. He's subject to his parents. He's listening to his parents. He was about his father's business and the other thing. But here, talking about you here, are we like Jesus that we're subject to our parents? When they correct us, how do we respond to it? As parents, we're to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. Children, what are you supposed to do? You're to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're to honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. This is what he says. He says, you obey your parents. Did he say, if you want to? If it's what you think you need? No, he says, you obey your parents. And when you're not obeying your parents, you're disobeying what God has instructed you to do. Jesus, he continues, as a child, he continues to grow. You were once 2 years old. Now you might be 12 years old. You might be 30 years old. You might have grown, but same thing with Jesus. Jesus grew, you grew, just like Jesus grew. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Four things he did. He grew mentally in wisdom. He grew physically in stature. He grew in favor with God spiritually. And he grew in favor with man socially. Is it any different today? We're constantly growing. We're constantly making decisions. And the question that I have, are the decisions that you're making, are the decisions that the older ones of us are making, are they decisions that are going to help us grow closer to God? Are we studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? Or are we too busy making fun at different things? Are we too busy doing something else? Are we too busy worried about what our friends think of us? And we think about friends, and we think about what you as parents, that you pour your heart and soul into a child, and then they get older, and then they start choosing their own friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And if I've said it once, I can say it a million times. When you, young people, are you listening? When you choose the wrong company, you can better bet that you are going to be just like them in some way. You're going to pick up those bad habits. And that bad habit may be not even attending church. It may be following after lies and deceptions. Be not deceived. Don't let the Satan deceive you. As we look at Jesus and as he continued to grow and look at him, he's doing his Father's will. He's listening and he's subject to his parents, but he's also subject to his heavenly Father. He comes and he's at Jordan. He's coming to be baptized of John and says, but John forbids him and he says, I need to be baptized of you and you're coming to me. Jesus said, You suffer it to be so now, for thus it is becoming us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John allowed him. He was doing his Father's business. So my question is, are we about our Father's business? What's the most important thing in our life? Is it being a Christian? If you can open up the book of Matt Taylor and you can turn to the pages in there, what are you going to read in my story? Is it going to be that I'm a faithful servant of God? When you open up your book and you start turning the pages, what is your book going to say? Are we fulfilling and are we pleasing to the Father? Jesus, it says in Matthew 3:16, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, it says, he went up straightway out of the water, and the heavens are opening up and to him, and he saw the Spirit of God upon him, descending like a dove and lighting on him, and this voice from heaven, what does it say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. If the heavens were to open up and God is looking down at us as his children, is he going to say, this is my beloved Matt, in whom I'm well pleased? Or is he going to say, this is my beloved Matt, in whom I am not well pleased? A part of growing up is learning to make decisions about our salvation. So many other things can get in the way. Social media, cell phones, internet, extracurricular activities. But as a part of being a teenager and being a young adult, we have to be very conscientious of our salvation. Are you a Christian? If not, why not? It's a very simple process, but it requires your total heart. When we think about becoming a child of God, and the kids, as they recited them tonight, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, remain faithful, they can say those things. But eventually, we don't want them just to say the steps. We want them to do the steps. Hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. John 8:24, talking about if you believe not that I'm He, you're going to die in your sins. Luke 13:3, he says, except you repent, you're going to all likewise perish. Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I'm going to confess you before my Father which is in heaven. In Acts 2:38, he says, you repent and you be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He wants you to do those things, and then what does he say? You be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. You be faithful until when? We talked about that tonight in the class. Unto death. And I'm going to give you this crown of life. Is it easy? Jesus was tempted just like us. Jesus is growing up, but he is just like us. Are you getting that in your mind? I'm trying to get across tonight. Jesus was just like you and me growing up. He's tempted of the devil. What does it say? He's tempted of the devil. And here in 1 John 2, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. Those things are of the world. Here he's being tempted. And what is he tempted of? And here Satan is, you're hungry. Take this stone and turn it to bread. There's your lust of the flesh. He takes him to the top of the temple, top of a building, and he says, "If you're who you say you are, you cast yourself down. If you're the Son of God, you can cast yourself down. They'll take care of you. Pride of life. Takes him to the mountaintop and says, you look at all that you can have. I'll give it to you. There's the lust of the eyes. Are we any different in our sins and in our temptations? Are you tempted to the lust of the flesh? Are you tempted with the pride of life? Are you tempted with the lust of the eyes? We all are. 1 Corinthians 10:13, See, but Jesus, He was able to escape those things. He says, there is no temptation taken to you, which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation, He'll also make what? He has made a way for us to escape Satan's temptations, that we will be able to bear it. Teenagers, and everyone else that's listening to my voice, you're going to be tempted with many of those things as you enter into and enter out and go into the workforce, as you go out into school, you go to different places. Satan's going to tempt you with those three different ways. But always know that Jesus has been there. He has overcome Satan, and He's provided you with a way of escape. He was sinless. He left us an example. He is the one who did no sin. We aren't sinless, but we can definitely sin less. 1 Peter 2:21, He left us that example. In 1 John 1:2, verse 6, we're to walk as He walked. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, we're to be that follower of Christ. In Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, we're to be that follower of God. We're to walk in love as Christ walked in love. In John 14, verse 15, He said, if you love Me, you keep My commandments. Does this describe My life? Does this describe your life? And just as you and I will one day, at some point our life will come to an end. We know that Jesus was crucified. We know that the things that He did, and He died. And we know that we're going to die. In Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. What comes after the judgment? We have a choice to make. We die, and at some point we're going to be buried, just as Jesus was. He was buried. He's buried in a tomb as well. On that tomb, you're going to have a date of your birth. And on that tomb, more than likely, you're going to have a date of your death. But what matters is the life that you and I have been living throughout our life. And we're going to be resurrected, just as Jesus was resurrected in Matthew 28. As they go there, and the angel of the Lord has rolled that stone back, and Mary Magdalene and Mary are there in verse 6, and some of the others, and the angel says, He's not here, for He is risen. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to appear, and we're going to appear before Him, and that everyone's going to receive the things done in His body according to that of which He's done, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Whether what I've done is good or whether what I've done is bad, that's going to be laid out before God. We're going to be changed. We're going to have a new life. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we're going to be changed. Are you going to be changed in a body that's going to live forever? Are you going to be changed in a body that's going to die forever? What does He say in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17? If any man be in Christ, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are going to be passed away. All things are going to become new. How do we get in Christ? Galatians 3:27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. What happens when we put on Christ? When we was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I'm going to put away childish things in my life. I'm going to grow up in Christ so I can go up with Him in heaven. Blessed is the man in James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptations. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. We're going to receive what? A crown of life. Here it is. Here's your crown of life. Because what did He say? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. When your life, right, and if it were to be over right now, is that crown going to be yours? Is that crown going to be mine? You have to make that decision tonight, and you have to make it now as we stand and as we sing. And we encourage you to come if you need to come. If you're not a child of God, we want you to come as we stand as we sing the invitation song.